Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. Another big weekend of representative footy for the under-18 girls and some under-17 boys looking to put their name forward. As usual, I'm one of your co-hosts, Nathan Seppi, joined by my other co-host, Jonty Ralph-Smith. Jonty, a bit of a different week of football in terms of the games we got to see. How was your weekend? What did you get up to? What did you see?
Yeah, so we saw the Vic Country versus Vic Metro Girls at Trevor Barker Oval on Saturday morning, and then we saw a doubleheader out at Werribee on Sunday. Vic Metro took on New South Wales ACT, which contained some Murray and Bendigo players, and then we watched Vic Country take on Queensland. So a lot of players had moments in those games, which is what you're looking for from a under-17s perspective, and some players put their names forward in the girls representative footy as well. So we'll start with the girls representative footy. I think from my perspective, Ash Centra was the clear best on. Vic Metro did get up though against Vic Country 7-10-52 to 5-6-36. I think if you to give a quick overview of the match, Vic Metro had two bursts of about 5 minutes throughout the match where they kicked two or three goals in each of those bursts, and that probably proved the difference. But despite that, regardless of the result, I think Ash Centra was the clear best on ground with 23 touches. She took four marks, three clearances. Just her offensive flair continues to impress as a bottom major, and no doubt that'll continue to develop over the next 12 months.
Well, I'll continue on the streak of Country players with Michaela Williamson. I thought her composure was terrific. Just her ability to get those metres gained is probably the best, I'd say, in the talent league and definitely in the Vic region. She was just great. She was breaking tackles. She was squaring up teammates further up the ground, and her running carry is so pivotal to pretty much any team she's playing, especially at Dandenong level. Well, and probably another Dandenong teammate, Sophie Butterworth. She did what she needed to do because she's had sort of patches as champs, but she got on the scoreboard, kicked two goals. So it was a pretty, can sort of tick off that performance as one that was noted, and it was a good performance, I guess. Metro side, I'll list one first. Ava Jordan, she was, that was probably her best game of the championship so far. She had a pretty good outing against Allies, but this was probably, I mean, this is Vic Metro's last game. So this they're done now, and we'll have a video analysing each and every player like we did with the boys in a couple of weeks. But yeah, she was really, her hands were really clean, especially a bit further up the ground before the ball moved inside 50, able to get the handball out. And she kicked a terrific goal, great check side deep in the pocket, which was pretty good to see. And she ended up with two on the day from your perspective.
Yeah, she's opportunistic, isn't she? She backs herself to take the shots on goal. I think she missed a couple as well that she would normally back herself to get, but you can certainly see that she puts herself in positions that you want your small forwards to put themselves in. So big fan of hers, and I thought she certainly showed some glimpses at Trevor Barker Oval. From a key forwards perspective for Vic Metro, Christy Lee Weston-Turner was the clear standout, and you could say the standout player for Vic Metro, full stop. The only thing letting her down was she had, I think, six shots on goal and kicked one goal five. So she certainly generated plenty of opportunities, particularly in the first half. It looked like any time she was near the ball, she was just a class above. And she's another one of those bottom majors that we're going to see develop and is going to be really fun to watch for Talent League observers in the next 12 months. She has a presence about her overhead. She's able to take marks. But then when the ball hits the ground level, she's able to get in and out of traffic. She's really strong through the core. And you see that with her ability to break tackles as well. But just the one goal for her on the day, and that came late in the fourth quarter when the game was already done and dusted. So that's probably what let her down. It probably could have been done and dusted a little bit earlier had she taken her opportunities. And the other key forward, Emma McDonald, I think she did certainly hit the scoreboard a couple of times with consecutive goals in the second quarter. And I think she set up a couple of inside 50s as well. It wasn't the performance we saw from her in the first game where she was marking everything and kicked four goals. But again, a bottom major who throughout the championships, I think, has shown enough, obviously missed that middle game. But in the two games that she did play, I thought she certainly did her prospects no harm and will go back to Oakley with some confidence ahead of a final series that Oakley will hope to go deep into.
Yeah, for sure. I'll touch back on Vic Country. One we haven't actually mentioned a whole heap on this podcast is Joe Sunderland, that we sort of noted as the game went on. And she did some nice sins out of defensive 50. She took most of the kick-ins, but it was just her kicking that was pretty, it was very good in the end. It was hidden targets. It was just nice defensive 50 exits that were leading to transition when Country were struggling at times throughout the day just to get the ball moving forward. Yep. So I thought it was just worth noting her performance. It was just it did build as the day went on, and it was very notable.
Yeah, so a Geelong Falcons prospect who was able to also do some really nice things in the first game. We probably didn't mention her in the first game, but I think thinking back to who we did mention, she's probably the best of the lot in that first game that we didn't mention. So, yeah, she's actually one that's popped out in these championships and proven what she's able to do. Looks like one of those players that the higher the level, the better she becomes. So she acclimatises to that higher level well. And someone else you can certainly say that about is Sarah Howley. Yeah. She's one who, yeah, no matter where she's playing, her work rate to get her hands on the ball as often as she does allows her to set up teammates, whether by hand or by foot, and is going to serve her well. So another bottom major, and you look at how strong that crop's going to be next year. It's certainly going to be impressive. Ali Simon's another one who I think sent some shivers up some recruiters' spines in the third quarter when she went off with what appeared to be a nasty elbow injury, but she did return to the field. And again, it's that power and the ability to get involved in general play as a key position player and ruck that I was really impressed by. But that just about sums it up for players who are impressed from my perspective, Nathan.
Yeah, no, I'd pretty much agree. Two small forwards, the main small forwards on each team, Lila Keck, Alicia Pisano, probably both quieter games. Like, they both got their hands on the footy, but they did both have their moment. Those two always have their moment in the game, and both kicked a nice snap goal to just lift their team. So,
and just on that, the player who had the matchup on Alicia Pisano was Ruby Murdoch, and certainly did well to keep her out of the game. We know that she's kicked bags of goals for fun at Eastern Rangers level. Ruby Murdoch, in her first game for Vic Country this year, was able to come in and thrown in the deep end a little bit, but certainly didn't lower her colours. So congratulations to her, and hopefully we see her again against WA. We'll preview some players a little bit later on in the podcast that we hope to see play well in Vic Country's last game, but we'll move on to the Vic Metro versus New South Wales ACT game. I'll start with the standout talent league player from New South Wales ACT. I thought it was Jobe Shanahan, clearly. He has shown a lot as a key defender at Bendigo Pioneers level. And you speak to Bendigo coach Danny O'Bree, he absolutely loves what he produces. I don't think I've gotten off the phone with him or spoken to him yet this season without him talking about how impressive Jobe Shanahan's work has been at training and what he's producing during games. It's his marking that's his one wood, and he certainly converts his shots on goal. He had kicked a couple of goals on the weekend and was able to set up teammates, got high up the field, took some contested marks. It was a really impressive performance. So he's shown he can do it at both ends of the field. He's also played a little bit of midfield at Bendigo. He's about that 193 centimetre height, so hopefully he can grow a little bit and become that true key forward, but he's certainly one to keep your eyes on next year. Another Bendigo Pioneers product and out of the Moama Footy Club, so a shout out to them. So hopefully he continues to develop, because it was an ultra impressive performance for someone who's played a lot as a key defender in the last month or so.
Yeah, it was. It was a very big standout performance, one that you definitely can see the potential in, that will just grow and build into his body, especially in the next, 6 to 12 months as the season goes on. We'll talk about some Metro players that impressed us as the day went on. Christian Moraes, obviously, he's been a talking point for a while now, and he's been building on his talent league performances. His burst out of the centre stoppages has been extremely impressive to watch, and he's been building on those performances. Probably something I asked at the start was, what's next for him? Where's his next weapon? But it is his exiting kicks, and he gets the handball, and he's just smart with his ball usage. And I know you've loved watching him and the way he's been going about it in the last couple of months.
Yeah, and I think we watched him a couple of weeks ago out at Warrawee Park against the Oakley Chargers, and compared him to an Oakley Charger, a Kynan Brown type that he could become. Yeah. He's not that big frame, he's skinny, which has posed some questions, and doesn't look like the sort of player that's ever going to be that big-bodied mid. So is he going to be able to stand up at senior footy at AFL level? But he does find a way to exit really easily out of stoppage, and that allows, like you say, that kicking to really become a feature. So yeah, I was really impressed with him. Cody Anderson, a teammate of his out at the Eastern Rangers, was another one that had moments. It wasn't a complete performance from him, but certainly showed that he can be a premier inside mid at talent league level at least next year. Whether he does it at Vic Metro level is a different question. Thought the Calder boys overall were really impressive on the day. Yep. So I know that you've you've really enjoyed watching a few of them. I'll start with Nash King and then throw to you. I thought Nash King had a really hot start. He's shown a lot at the quarter counters, particularly in the first month of the season when I watched him a couple of times, and just finds a way to get his hands on the footy off the ruck's hands and then extracts to teammates if he doesn't himself get the clearance. But he's always advancing it forward and is a real lively presence at any stoppage. But in terms of some other quarter players that impressed you, Nathan?
Yeah, well, there's a lot to talk about. Damien Holloway is probably the next in line in terms of performances on that day. He's just his roving ability is really kept going up as the season's gone on, and it was terrific against Murray, which was the last game they played before this one. Just really good hands inside 50 as well. Was able to kick a goal, and his kick into the leads is something that's keeps standing up, and he's a great player in transition. He's someone you want the ball in their hands when the ball is moving forward inside 50. Jaden Nguyen, it was pretty much the standard game you get from him, a bit quieter, but he did have his moments throughout the game on the wing. You don't expect him to have 20, 30 touch games every time, but just a really nice performance for him to build on. He's definitely up to that level for sure. And Noah Scott's one I've kept my eye on, that he's got the potential there. Probably one of the quieter bottom ages in this colder crop that is still waiting to, you know, grow and expand. And he did some nice things, just good hands inside 50, kicked a goal, quite a game. But there's just, in terms of colder bottom ages, they look like next year they should be one of the best teams in the league. They're very impressive to watch. They're fantastic to watch, actually. So, and they're doing extremely well at colder level.
Absolutely, yeah. Noah Scott's one that's certainly flown under the radar a little bit. So many teammates of his age going well at Cannons level. One who didn't play from the Cannons was Isaac Kakko. Certainly would have been a live wire, a nightmare for the New South Wales ACT. Small defenders had he played. He's got an LCL injury, so we might not see him again this year, unfortunately. But a few more that impressed, there are a couple of Sandy boys that impressed us in preseason, one each of us. For me, it was Jet Haida. It was his electricity against Oakley in a practice match and a Sandy intra-club match that I really liked on the outside. I think he's got that real pace and that real energy and brings that injection of excitement because he's really creative with his ball use often as well. And he had a couple of moments with some entry kicks and then kicked a really impressive goal over his head on the boundary line.
Yeah.
As well in the second quarter. It wasn't a complete performance from him, but I thought he showed enough to show that he certainly deserves to be a starting 23 member at Sandy next year and perhaps could be even better than that. For you, Sam Buck is one that you've liked and he had a good game.
Yeah, he did have a good game in the end. He's one in preseason. I just thought he'd walk into the starting 22 for Sandy at that time. He was one of the best performers in the preseason. But he definitely showed his capabilities in this game, got forward. It's his leading ability that was what stood out preseason, and it stood out again. He gets front position and he doesn't lose it, puts his hands out in front and is able to take a strong mark, kicked a goal in the end. It was a really good performance from him, and he's showing his capabilities nice and early, and I think he'll build very well into the next season. Harrison Oliver, that's another Sandy boy that probably worth mentioning. It was a good game from him. Just did some nice things here and there, but probably still to build on, I'd assume. I think that would be your perspective.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's got that real spring, and we saw him go up for a couple of leaps. So that's something that's going to excite a lot of people, and he'll be certainly one at the forefront of watchers when they're at Dragons games next year. To round out the Vic Metro players, Todd McCarthy, as an intercepting defender, took a few nice marks. So he reads the ball really well in flight. Charlie Richardson, a really long kick out of the Oakley Chargers. So he kicked two goals, one from outside 50, one was from 40. It's just the way he kicks through the ball. And you often see it with even thinking of someone like an Aaron Norton at the moment at AFL level, who sort of stabs at it a little bit, and then that's sort of affecting his accuracy. So it's so important that kids have the confidence to kick through the ball no matter where they're taking their set shots from. I think he's really got that ability, and certainly he's very good overhead. So he just had a couple of moments as well. Taj Houghton in the first quarter kicked a couple of goals. So good to see the Halebury and Sandy Dragons prospect doing some good things as well. They were probably the main ones to round out Vic Metro. It was a very impressive game, actually, and there are a lot of players that stood out. It was free-flowing. It was a high-scoring shootout. Vic Metro pulled away late, but it was really interesting. thing, because it was the sort of game that you want the under-17s games to be, because players were able to show their weapons in the way that it was played. But we'll move on to the Vic Country and Queensland game now, and I'll start with a couple of Dandenong boys, and then we'll work our way back to the hero. It was a kick after the siren, but Cooper Hines and Harvey Langford and Noah Mraz from the Dandenong Stingrays. Thought Cooper Hines and Harvey Langford, they both got to rotate in the centre bounce. Harvey Langford wins hard balls. He was able to do that, won plenty of possession. Cooper Hines was trusted at the last centre bounce to go in there. He advanced it forward and did what he needed to do. So it was a big part of that last play to get it going Vic Country's way, so that they could get the last shot at getting the victory. And Noah Mraz as a key defender ruck was another who impressed.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'll ask you about this Gippsland player that has been very fantastic in the Tartan League lately, and he's been proving how pivotal he can be in any side he's playing in. But Xavier Lindsay, bottom major, he's got some accolades to his name already, and he impressed in this game on Sunday. Tell me a bit more about Xavier Lindsay. Why should we be so excited about him?
I think we should be excited about him because he's now put it together for a 12 to 18 month period. So last year as an under 16s All Australian, and he really showed what he's able to do there as a silky outside mover, and that's always been his strength off that half back, off the wing. He's got a really high work rate, and his kicking skills really shine through when he's advancing at forward. He's also able to work back into defensive 50, and we saw that on the weekend in the second half. I know we were noting it late in the game where he was working up, working back, so he was ripping forward at times. Wasn't quite able to get the goal late for Vic Country, which did cause that climatic finish, but he was certainly offering an option, and it's in the second half where his running really did come to the fore. Now, he did fade out of it a little bit, but what was really impressive was that it was his inside work that stood out, and that's certainly where he's played for Gippsland in the last month or so, after he had been, I won't say pigeonholed as that outside player, but that's certainly been where it seemed that his best footy was going to be played. He's moved inside, 28.5 disposals he's averaged in the last month for Gippsland, so he's able to match it physically with the inside midfielders, and also his defensive work rate. You talk about it on the wing with his ability to run back, but also in the midfield, if he's not getting first hands on it and extracting it, he's applying pressure, so he's averaging 6 tackles in those last 4 games. So I fully expect he'll be in the AFL Academy next year, because he's probably been one of my favourite bottom ages to watch.
Yeah, it's been very exciting to watch. I'll work back to the end of the game. We'll actually move on to the end of the game, but the moment, the man, the moment, Jack Whitlock. After the siren to win the game, which if you haven't seen that footage, it's on our Instagram page, that just decided might as well get the phone out, because this could be a very good moment if it does go through, and it did go through. So a great kick. But his game in general, take away that last kick of the game, I thought he was very good. His hands were really strong, and he's still got some size to build into. Like, he's still quite lean for a tall forward. So there's definitely so much to work with there. And I think he kicked 2 in the end, but he was impressive. And that's just a great way to put your name on the map with a moment like that.
Yeah, I think he's the impressive Vic Country key forward to watch out for. Jonty Fall kicked 4 on the day. We'll talk about his game in a second, but just his size. So he's got that frame that he's going to be able to really build into. His brother Matt Whitlock played at the other end as a fullback. The Murray coaching staff still talk about the fact the identical twins still get muddled, and so that's going to be a challenge for recruiters when watching next year, no doubt. But certainly he was one who just stood out with his presence, and he commanded the ball inside 50. And not only was it the fact that he had the composure to go back and kick that goal, but it was a massive contested mark, and it had to be a mark, because if it was off hands, there wouldn't have been enough time for any of the crumbing forwards to actually get it onto their boot. So he took a mark and, went back and slotted it. So, well-deserved for him, because he's one that has grown throughout the season in confidence, and that's shown in his output. And he capped that on a really impressive day on Sunday.
Yeah, he did. And I'll touch back on the two, on Jonty Fall and another Rebels boy as well, Reece Unwin, who I thought had good moments. And they're two that have had a bit, they had pretty quiet starts to the season, but have definitely built into that now, and they're coming into terrific form. They're two to watch. Reece Unwin, he kicked a goal early, and his tackling pressure was pretty strong, probably dropped off in the second half a little bit. But Jonty Fall was one that was pretty impressive as the day went on, and he was really good inside 50 with his roving, his ability to just get the loose ball and have a shot on goal. And then he kicked a nice set shot for his second goal. So those were two that I thought were really impressive. A Bendigo boy now, I think worth mentioning that we've talked about quite a bit on the podcast, Toby Trevaglia. It was a pretty good performance from him. He was a lot more composed with the ball in hand. He struggled a bit in Bendigo's last game against Gippsland, just didn't really seem to get into rhythm. But he was really good in this one. I thought his tackling pressure was strong, and he was just showcasing his nice run and carry that we know he's got along half back, but he did push up quite a bit at times, and he was using the ball pretty well, in your opinion?
Yeah, he got quite high up the ground, didn't he? So his fitness really stood out to me. I thought his second half was as good as his first half, so he didn't fall out of the game at all. And yeah, speaking to the Bendigo coaching staff, they say that his last month hasn't been the level of footy that we're accustomed to seeing from him. Both at Bendigo level, he also made his debut for Sandhurst, his senior debut, that is. So playing senior footy for someone of his stature, he's still got quite a bit of muscle to put on, would be a difficult task. But he has just looked a little bit tired, a little bit lethargic. So it's good to see that he's got himself hopefully into some form and he's able to continue that at Pioneers level for the next three or four matches or however deep they get into the final series. Harry Charlson, one that you know a lot about. You've spoken to the Rebels coaching staff a bit about. He showed his pace off halfback.
Yeah, he did, and that's where he's been playing his footy at Rebels level. We obviously know his brother, older brother, Lockie Charlson's putting his name in draft contention at the moment, but he's been building into his season really well. I think the thing with a lot of the Rebels boys, it's been very school orientated from what it seems like. So now it's footy's becoming the main thing again as the season progresses. But he's a nice running halfback, and he's been able to showcase that. At Rebels level, he played really well against Geelong a couple of weeks ago when they beat them pretty convincingly. And he's just a nice piece in the puzzle, a great role player. And like you said, yeah, his run off halfback was really strong in the end. He shows he's got the capability to move the game forward really well. So he was one that definitely stood out for me as well. And he'll be impressive at Rebels level as well.
Be interesting because you talk about running halfbacks and how important that position of halfback is in the modern game. And certainly you look at offensive weapons in the talent league, but it's also important that they do have that defensive side to their game. We know that's something that Archie Roberts, as a top ager, had to work on this year. It'd be interesting to know if he's ever played on his brother Lockie to really hone that defensive craft. Obviously, a really good resource just in the backyard to wrestle around with him. But speaking of defensive halfbacks, one who didn't play that the Murray coaching staff are certain would have, if not for a hamstring injury, is Darby Wilson. So another one to keep your eye out for, who's sort of around this range, but just wasn't quite able to get up for this game. Hopefully we do see him again this season, depending on how deep the Murray Bush Rangers go into the final series a couple of times, hopefully. And probably the last one from a Vic Country perspective that stood out to me is Ollie Warburton. I thought his ability to advance it forward and break free of some tacklers and break free of some opposition players from the midfield was really impressive. He's played some really good schoolboy footy for Caulfield. I only watched one of Caulfield's games, obviously that grand final, so to speak, against Haileybury. Yep. And I thought he did some nice things and was actually told that was probably his worst game for the season. So no matter what he's doing, he seems to be standing out and is one that, we'll keep a close eye on for sure going forward.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he was really clean with his ball movement and he's just got quick feet, able to move down the ground really quickly. I'll quickly mention one last one before we move on. But Xavier Ivicic had some good moments. Thought it's worth bringing him up because he's played some really good footy at the Falcons and he'll be one that should be in their team for the rest of the season, you'd assume. But I know you noted him pretty well on the day.
Yeah, so he was part of that midfield rotation. I thought he set up teammates really well. He's probably the best ball user out of the players who played in the Vic Country midfield. So, yeah, certainly a good one to bring up. And just before we move on, a couple of Queensland players were Talent League clubs. Caleb Nancarrow, a very short ruckman. He's only listed at 193 centimetres, but he has got a bit of spring in his step. I don't think that we're going to see him there necessarily playing for the Oakley Chargers next year. So he's playing probably a little bit out of where he's going to play going forward, but showed a little bit of athletic upside, though he was playing against someone that was considerably more built than him, both physically and also height-wise. And Sam Marshall is aligned with the Sandy Dragons and got his hands on the footy a fair bit for Queensland in the midfield. But, yeah, we'll move back to the girls now. The Vic Country girls have got their last game this weekend against Western Australia. Who are some players, Nathan, that we may not have seen as much from throughout the championships that you'd love to see just show a little bit of what they're capable of doing based on what you've seen at talent league level and that you think can translate it to national champ level?
Yeah, well, Chantal Mason's the main one for me, who has, she's kicked bags at talent league level. It's been extremely impressive. And it's been a lot of almost moments at big country level. She's been able to be around the contest. She knows where to read the, she knows how to read the ball. That's undeniable. It's really now capitalizing on her opportunities when the ball comes in, making herself prominent there and getting front position.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be nice to see her kick, you know, two or three, hopefully, on the weekend, and probably just staple that what she's done at talent league level is transferable at a higher level. And she's definitely capable of that. She's an extremely tall girl. I didn't realize that. I've watched her a couple of times on the stream, but I haven't actually, that was the first time I've seen her in person. She's very tall. So her size is definitely a strength of hers, but she's probably the main one for me. Two Dandenong girls that I know you've seen a lot of this season, Gemma Ramsdale, Meg Robertson, had their opportunities, but probably still need an extra game just to boost their chances even more.
Yeah, so Gemma Ramsdale didn't play the most recent game, but I think she certainly deserves another opportunity. She didn't necessarily show what she was capable of at her best in the first game. I didn't think she's an absolute brick wall one-on-one at her best, and she's a real leader of the back line and architect and able to bring the ball out really well as well. So she can take kickouts. You talked about Joe Sunderland doing that really well. I think Gemma Ramsdale's another clean ball user who can trust to do that. Meg Robertson's one in the midfield who has been ultra consistent at Dandenong level, averaging that 20 to 25 disposals and is able to get the ball clear of space, but just hasn't necessarily translated it to the country level. She's been a little bit quieter. So I'd love to see her really stand up, and whether that's in the midfield or showing her silky skills somewhere else, I think she's capable of doing it anywhere. She does have the skills that are transferable to other positions. Just touching back on Chantal Mason, we did catch up with her after one of her bags that she kicked earlier in the season. So head over to our Instagram and have a watch of that. Some really interesting revelations about her development as a key forward that she talks about there. And I guess just a couple of others. Amber Shute played a really strong first game, probably wasn't as strong in the second game. Would love to see her have a really strong third game, keep her name around the draft calculations. And Tyler Crabtree was one who really jumped out in the first game but couldn't back it up in the second game. Necessarily, again, another one who is really tenacious and I really enjoy watching. Hopefully she's able to show what she's capable of once again in the third game, because certainly at Rebels level she's shown a little bit as well.
Yeah, for sure. She's been one that has built really nicely at Rebels level and hitting form at the right time. So one last game really to prove what they're worth, and they've been really fantastic at talent league level. So that game will be Sunday at 2 o'clock big time, 12 o'clock WA time. So look forward to watching that one. And same with the Metro girls. We will review every country girl player by player. We'll move now to talent league again. It is back. It's only a week off, but we're back again for the boys. The girls are the week after. So this is crunch time now. This is full teams, full list to choose from. It's pretty much, if you're going to hit form, do it now. And we saw that with Sandy last year. It literally just clicked and it happened. So you can never really, last year's just made me think whoever's the best team is probably won't win it. So I'm just going to be very careful with who I tip now. But we start with on the Saturday, doubleheader, some good games to watch actually. Sandy and Northern at Trevor Barker Oval. I think this will be fun to watch. I think Sandy would probably just be a bit too strong, but Northern, I do not see Northern rolling over and not making this a very good contest. I'll tip Sandy, but I'm very much looking forward to this.
Yeah, I'll tip Sandy as well with all their private schoolers back in. One of those private schoolers is Vigo Vizentini, who got the combine invite. I think his battle with Will Green of the Northern Knights will be worth the price of admission alone. So really looking forward to see who can emerge on top there, because certainly if Vigo emerges on top with this midfield that Sandy have got, it'd be really hard to see Northern being able to get up. So I'll tip Sandy as well.
Second game, Gippsland and Oakley in Morwell. Oakley, they showed glimpses of what they're capable of against Eastern. That first quarter was really strong, and they do have the capability to win games. It's just probably the depth is where we've sort of questioned them. I think after your top six or seven, there's a bit of a drop-off. Gippsland were really impressive against Bendigo, probably the most impressed I've been with them all season. Hard to see Gippsland losing this, so.
Yeah, coming off back-to-back wins, Gippsland, and yeah, looking forward to seeing Tom Hanley back at talent league level. He's looked really good every time he's been at talent league level, obviously played schoolboys. So, yeah, Gippsland for me too.
second game of the doubleheader at TBO, Eastern and Geelong. I'm really looking forward to this game. And I know already before we tip, we've got different opinions. I think Geelong will do this. I don't know if they'll do it comfortably, but I've been much more impressed watching Geelong than I have Eastern. Eastern, I think, just need to put it together for four quarters. They have a lot of inconsistent patches. They either dominate a quarter or completely fall off. So I think Geelong will do it, but I think this will be very fun to watch as well.
Yeah, and I'm going to tip Eastern. I really like watching Eastern. I hope that Caleb Windsor can continue his form. They've got some key forwards, LaPlanche and Weatherall, who have done it at the Metro level. And obviously their midfield, we've talked about Moraes and Anderson. I'll tip Eastern. Just on Eastern, just reminding me that Rangers come up, the Cooper Trenbarth and Will Brown in the...
Yes, yep, yep.
Both played for Frankston, so congratulations to both of those boys making their VFL debut. And Cooper Trenbarth certainly had a couple of moments, and Will Brown kicked a goal. So, yeah, they'll be better for the run, no doubt.
Yeah, well, segue into Bendigo GWV, George Stevens had 28 touches for Geelong, so that's a bit of a seamless fit into VFL level, yeah. So that's very impressive for him. But Bendigo GWV on the Sunday, this is first of another doubleheader at Queen Elizabeth Oval. Bendigo just in some tough form. I think Harley would be back. You'd assume Harley will be playing again since it is the back end of the season, but we're not too sure. It's whether really Bendigo can go without Harley, and we saw they can do it. When they share the ball around, they are pretty productive, but Harley does make a very big difference. And GW in such good form. They are probably, dare I say it, probably the number one team in the comp right now in terms of form, but I'll back GWV.
Yeah, so will I. So Malik Gordon hitting a little bit of form for Bendigo. He's injured himself and they are missing some tools as well. They've been short on tools all season, Bendigo, but a couple of the tools they did have injured themselves. I think GWV will be too strong in this one.
Tasmania and Calder in Glenorchy in Tassie this one. Calder, they do have to bounce back because that was it would have been disappointing the way they did lose that game against Murray. They probably should have about two or three more wins under their name, if it wasn't for the comebacks they are conceding. They are one of the best teams in terms of piling it on early. And Tassie, they're such a dangerous team when they're full strength. Probably the dark horses of this comp because no one's really talking about them and how dangerous they could be in the back end. Hard to see Calder going over there and winning, so I'll back Tassie.
Yeah, I'll back Calder. Just on a hunch. Obviously, it's known if you watch the podcast that I do enjoy watching Calder, but I'm looking forward to seeing Bo Nash. She's one that's probably hasn't got enough recognition on this podcast, but a Tassie player who hasn't got allies recognition, but has been really consistent at talent league level. So let's see what he can do in the back end of the season.
In the last game of the round, this is the second game of the doubleheader, Murray and Dandenong in Bendigo. Murray, I mean, that was a very good win. That's a season-inspiring win, I guess you could say, in terms of building the confidence. Dandenong haven't been ultra-impressive this year, and that's probably the reality. They just have struggled to put it together. And, they've got the talent there. That's undeniable. So this will be – I think it will be closer than probably what it seems, but I still would lean towards Dandenong.
Yeah, and I'd lean towards Dandenong as well.
And that wraps up. Western Jets have the bye this week, and they do play in the last round of the season. And I've leveled it up on tips. After about 2-3 months in behind, I've leveled it up now. It's 106 apiece. So interesting. We've made it somehow interesting for the last couple of weeks. As we said, the girls return next week. So two rounds each for the boys, and then we have no clue what's happening with finals. We're hearing different things. So when we know, we'll do our finals predictions, etc. But we don't know for now. But that wraps it up. Next week, we will obviously review the Boys Talent League and review the WA Vic Country Girls game. Stay tuned for the Vic Country and Metro player analysis reviews for the girls. That will be coming out very soon. Check out our power rankings if you haven't already and let us know what you think, if they were good, if they weren't. And we'll obviously, I'm pretty sure we'll do one in the back end of the year when we've got all our footy wrapped up. But until then, thank you all for watching. Have a good week, and we'll catch you in the next episode.